The Associated Press just reported that whites are now a minority of those being born in America. European American babies are less than 5 out of every 10 babies born and are projected to be less than 1 out of 10 births in just a few decades. This differential in birth rates, coupled with massive illegal immigration, which is almost entirely non-European, and legal immigration, which is over 90% non-European, means that unless a political sea change occurs, white Americans will ultimately be not only a minority in the nation that our people founded, but a tiny minority, well on its way to political and physical obliteration by the end of this century. Think about it. A great people exampled by men such as George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Robert E. Lee, Teddy Roosevelt, Daniel Boone, Davy Crockett, Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, is now on the path to oblivion. White babies are now part of an endangered species in the country that their own ancestors created. The preamble of the Constitution of the United States clearly says its purpose, and even that purpose of the United States, to secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity. But the posterity of Washington and all the founders of America is being wiped out in their own nation, and in a larger sense, from the very face of the earth. You know, it seems almost superfluous to recount the achievements of the European and American people. The genius of creating electricity, for instance, the power that drives your computer, and the electric lights that have lit the world's darkness were invented by our people. The computer devices that you're using right now to watch this video were the product of the genius of Dr. William Shockley, who invented the transistor, and the genius of Robert Noyce, who invented the silicon chip. I was honored to have known Nobel Prize winner Dr. William Shockley, and lucky that he called me his friend. He warned the world years ago about the crisis we now face. As a very young man, 40 years ago, I was scorned when I warned America that we would become a minority in our own country. I now tell you that we will become not just a minority, but a vanishing minority by the end of this century unless we stand up now with courage and sacrifice. As recently as the 1960s, whites were still 90% of America's population. Since that time, whites have lost many of their basic human rights. Tens of millions of whites have been forced out of public education because forced integration has made a wasteland of schools in many major cities. When I attended public schools in New Orleans, the most serious offenses were chewing gum or being out of class without a pass. And now, it's drugs, weapons, beatings, even rape. Many cannot afford to move to different areas or send their children to private or church school, and too many of our kids are now suffering a living hell in an environment more like a nasty, violent, drug-filled gangster rap reality show rather than a decent public school. Some call it racism, even point out the hard fact is that Black juveniles are 10 times more likely to be criminal, to beat, to rob, to kill, to deal drugs. Are facts racist too? Are white parents racist because they don't want their children to go to school where their children are 10 times more likely to be robbed or abused, intimidated, beaten, or even killed or raped? A school where obscenity, drugs, and violence and gangster rap are the dominant culture, where sexual intimidation, obscene and crude language, and even sexual assault is pervasive. Schools that academically resemble more the third world than America. I know some of you don't worry about the white children in those environments. It's considered noble to concern yourself with the well-being of minorities, even at the farthest ends of the earth. But if you're white and you concern yourself with the well-being of your own people, even your own children, you are deemed a racist. But the real racism today is not by white people, it's against white people. Today, whites face massive racial discrimination in jobs, promotions, college admissions, and scholarships. Even though whites are still 70% of the population, the universities of America's new elite, like Harvard, are only about 20% composed of non-Jewish whites. The government's biggest employer, the post office, has so much anti-white racist discrimination going on that blacks are at least 3 times overrepresented in employment, For instance, in Chicago, where blacks are only 18% of the workforce, they are 80% of the secure, well-paid post office jobs. Many old neighborhoods of safety and beauty and well-kept lawns and gardens have been transformed. Once wonderful and vibrant cities like Detroit now look like, well, they've been in a war that we lost. The same that's true in Detroit is happening in London and Paris. The news just came out in Paris that in this jewel of Western civilization and culture, non-Europeans are now the majority of those born, just like in the US. Some suburbs of Paris look more like Nigeria than France. And some areas of the quaint old London of Dickens, in some areas, the Briton is the one looking like the foreigner and is treated like a trespasser. Funny, those who object are called the racists, the haters. But look at the reality of it all. If you want to see real hate and real brutality, go to the demographic areas reflecting the new America, the new Europe. Drugs, brutality, rape, massive abuse of women, murder. The real racists are those who hate the European people so much that they're engineering our genocide. America and Europe are just a tiny percentage of the planet. Why are we not accorded the right to preserve our heritage, our culture, our faiths, our values, even the unique expressions of our beauty? The world's media let out the cry, "Save Tibet." Yes, do save Tibet. If Tibet endures massive Chinese immigration, then the great cultural, ethnic, and religious heritage of Tibet is lost forever, and the people of Tibet and the world will suffer from this loss. But is the loss of Europe and America and the European people that created the wonders and beauty of Western civilization any less valuable? How about save Paris, save London, save Atlanta, save the West? We rightfully support every people's human rights around the globe. But should people of European descent not be entitled to human rights as well? There are 1.3 billion in China, and they're all Chinese, and they have almost no non-Chinese immigration. India has 1 billion people, overwhelmingly Indian. Africa is teeming with Africans, and they have almost no immigration. There are dozens of mostly Amerindian or African nations in Central and South America and the Caribbean, and their numbers are exploding. But we of European descent, we're not even allowed to continue our existence as only 1/10 of the Earth's people. Genocide is the destruction or wiping away of any race or any people from the Earth, and we are being wiped away. I support the preservation of all life on Earth. You know, we must preserve the blue whales and the great African elephant. But is the true beauty of the European child or mother or adult any less important to preserve than an elephant or a whale? I believe we have the right to live. Well, I believe that we shall live and that we shall be free and we shall not lose our precious rights and heritage. We are still the vast majority of our countries. We're like an elephant terrified by a mouse. We just have to raise our foot and put it down, and we will survive. And we'll create a new America and a new Europe based on excellence and beauty and creativity and heritage, the real love that can come from hearts in a true family, a true brotherhood. I'm dedicated to that survival of our people, to a renaissance for our people. Millions are waking up now across Europe, across America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and among our beleaguered white brothers and sisters who face a violent genocide going on right now in South Africa. Those of you who have the financial and political means to stand up for us, when will you step up to the plate? We need you. But we're rising. You can hear our footsteps. We're beginning to march in tune with our history, courage, and duty, and love of our heritage. The best traits of our folk are coming alive in the great challenge of today. Our people are now answering the call of their heritage. They're throwing off the media lies and hate and propaganda and standing up brave and bold for the truth. Listen, you can hear the sound of awakening, not just in my voice, but in the beating of your own heart. It is the aesthetics, the art, the music, the words and hopes and dreams of our people. It is in the wide-eyed look of our children's beautiful faces. They look to us. We have a right to live. And we shall live. Join us. Give your heart and abilities to your people. We stand at the great crossroads for you and me and all those whom you love. It is truly to be or not to be. We shall survive.
Okay, hello and welcome. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam and Garth. It's Thursday, the 30th of July, 2015. This podcast is available from iTunes and also podomatic.com. But you can go to our website, www.krazfiles.com. Always C-R-A-Z-Z. Plenty of news links going up there every day. And a ton of our older podcasts and new podcasts going up there each week as well. So check it out, krazfiles.com. And thanks for listening to our podcast. To all our listeners out there, thanks for listening.
You are.
Everything all right there, Garth?
Yeah, I just got... Okay. Little dog keeps pestering me at the door.
We are plugged in.
Ready to go.
Ready to go indeed. Today with Don Fox. Don's back with us today. Joining us once again. Always great to have you back, Don. Thanks.
Hey, it's good to be here, Garth and Adam. Yeah, always a good time being on your guys' show.
Great to have you, Don. And just to let people know, Don, as well, just at the start of this podcast, I was listening to one of your shows, and I played the Will the White Race Survive with Dr. David Duke. So it's just that about a 10-minute clip for the start of the podcast for people to listen to, because it's a really good clip on that. But we're going to get into that very soon, Don. But you wanted to run over some 9/11 information before we started, so let's do it.
Sure, yeah. Garth was kind of asking for maybe a tidier explanation. So, yeah, let's just do a little housekeeping here. And there's a lot of debate. You know, it still rages, you know, mini nukes versus directed energy versus jet fuel on the towers. And really, to boil it all down is, okay, you have to come up with a mechanism that's going to explain how two 500,000-ton buildings are essentially converted into, you know, millions of cubic yards of micronized dust in under 30 seconds. Both towers were gone in about 10 seconds. So in approximately 20 seconds, both these buildings are gone. So what force can actually do that? So I'm going to have more on this probably in August. I think we're going to finish our debate with me and Jim Fetzer, and then the former guys from AE 9/11, Wayne Costi, and then Tim, and now I'm forgetting his last name. But that's you can catch that on YouTube. But you know, the gist of it is, I watched a bunch of, say, conventional demolitions. And what you always see is you'll hear big explosions, and then you'll see large chunks of building hitting the ground. You know, the support will come out from under them, and they just, boom, they go down. But there's just large chunks of material left. You know, we don't see that at ground zero, and particularly with the Twin Towers. What you see is a hole. You see some steel beams, but it's mostly dust. And then, if you know, everybody saw that huge dust cloud that rolled out and covered lower Manhattan. But not only that, you had chunks, you know, there's satellite photos that show just the dust going up the whole east coast of the United States, you know, all the way up, you know, Boston and up to Maine. So you have to have a mechanism that explains how steel and concrete and marble, gypsum, how all this material gets blasted down into very small micro-sized particles. And the only force on Earth that can do that is nuclear. Jet fuel has no ability to even explode concrete. So not only did concrete explode, it was basically vaporized.
Yeah.
And then we also see 1,000 people that were completely vaporized at ground zero. Well, even if kerosene explodes, it's not going to vaporize people. It would burn them. You know, there'd be chunks of bodies left, but with what we see with 9/11, it's just tiny, tiny chunks of, you know, bodies, bone fragments, and it took them weeks to sort through all the DNA was getting all mixed up, so it took them a long time to sort out all the DNA. We had our guy down there, Father Frank Morales at Ground Zero, and I got that audio clip on my blog at donaldfox.wordpress.com. Go back in the archives to February of 2014. Jim and I did a show on that. You can hear the clip with Frank Morales, where he talks about when he got down to ground zero, the earth was moist and warm with the bodies of the dead. The people were just burned right into the earth. Mm. So obviously kerosene, okay, even if kerosene explodes, its detonation velocity is 1,600 meters a second, which is too low to explode concrete, which you need a detonation velocity of 3,200 meters a second, or steel, you need 6,100 meters a second. So nanothermite's only got what do we find, like about 892 meters a second. I'd have to go look it up. It's under 1,000 meters a second with nanothermite. And now, can RDX do it? Yeah, RDX is about 9,100 meters a second. But RDX, you know, I've watched plenty of controlled demolitions. Unless you've got just tons and tons of the stuff, they don't use it to vaporize the material of the building. They take out key support structures, and they basically saw it down into chunks so that the cleanup crew can just come in and haul it away. They don't vaporize the whole building. Large chunks of the building hit the ground in a regular demolition.
Hmm. Yes. So it keeps pointing to the nuclear, where it just completely vaporizes everything.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. You have to have a force that can vaporize massive buildings in a very short amount of time. There just really is no. There's no plan B here. You don't have. Once you do your basic homework on nukes, it's not that tough to figure this stuff out. You know, I mean, like I'm not that much smarter than everybody else. I just put in the time to figure it out, and there's really no plan B. There's no other explanation, because not only did you have 1,000 bodies vaporized, you also had 1,400 cars that got toasted, and. But that's the sort of thing we also saw that at the Pentagon. I've got pictures of toasted cars from there too. And on Oklahoma City in April of 1995, there was 86 toasted cars at that nuclear explosion.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, that's enormous, isn't it? That's absolutely incredible. Yeah. So, as you say, what could do that? I mean, could nanothermite do that?
Nanothermite is an incendiary. It burns. It flashes bright, and then it goes out. It uses up its fuel supply in a short amount of time. That's why it's a nano composite. So it can't explain the heat at ground zero, the ground temperatures there. The Earth was 2,000 degrees, between 600 and 2,000 degrees for 6 months after 9/11. And the only force on nature that I can find that's going to explain that is an underground nuclear detonation. And we've got a lot of evidence for underground nuclear detonations on 9/11.
Didn't they go in and paint all the walls, Don, with nano?
Well, even if they did.
According to Jesse Ventura, and then, the flames that burn it all.
Even if they did.
Would have taken them a while.
Yeah, it would have taken a long time. And B, that's, if you're going to spend all that time on it, why wouldn't you just load it up with RDX?
Let's put a couple of nukes under there.
Yeah, that's the even more efficient, versus, bang the buck, I suppose with conventional explosives, you'd have to have, all those, all the charges, they'd be all wired up. Now, there is plenty of evidence for RDX being used, but more on the outer parts of the building and, how that was all timed. It seems to be computerized. I'm not sure if they had some wireless technology or what exactly they did. I'm not privy to all the plans of 9/11. I can just kind of reverse engineer what I see. And when I see a massive building there 1 minute and then a pile of dust there the next,
Well, there's one part of it, Don, that I where the so-called plane hit it at an angle, when you get a close-up of that, but some of those particular photographs, those huge front steel vertical beams, they were actually cut horizontally. So it was stepped. I mean, if the plane did some amazing thing, that aluminium plane, and cut it at that angle, it would be cut at an angle. But instead, it was all stepped.
Well, I there's a lot of evidence that supports the theory that no planes actually hit those buildings. I've got my own theories on it, and not that I can really prove it. It's more like a working theory that, I think what it was actually missiles that hit the building. Because there's, as Fetzer and the gang have pointed out, especially the Pilots for 9/11 Truth guys, that no commercial plane crashed anywhere on 9/11. Two of the planes weren't even in the air that day. The flights weren't scheduled for 9/11. And the other two were still in the air long after they should have crashed. So no commercial plane went anywhere on 9/11. Now, what actually hit the buildings? There are some witness reports that state that they saw a missile launched from another building in New York that hit the tower, one of the towers, maybe both. Now, what you didn't see that on TV, was that footage faked? Yeah, probably. Was the footage of the destruction of the towers faked? Now that I Simon Shack and those guys are big on the whole thing was a 102-minute movie and it was all fake. But we've got a lot of witnesses that were there that describe the exact same thing we saw on TV. And what we saw on TV, just take for instance, let's say the North Tower demolition, where as it's coming down, you can see that whole wave of destruction going down the building, and you can see material getting kicked back up. And one chunk of building, it was thousands of tons, got ejected up at a 45-degree angle and out 600-plus feet into the Winter Garden. So, where did the energy for that come from? Okay, kerosene has no ability to do that. RDX, you would need tons and tons of it to explain that. And it's not going to explain everything, the whole rest of the building getting converted into dust. And nanothermite has no ability to explain that. And so people, not only do we see that chunk of dust, that chunk of stuff going flying out in the direction of the Winter Garden on TV, that's what actually happened, because after it was all over, you can see the Winter Garden was flattened by North Tower debris.
Mm.
So yep. that all matches up. So.
Crikey's. Well, we did do a previous talk with you, Don, didn't we, on 9/11, so.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
people
so
can
yeah,
go on there to our website. It's in the archives, but we'll probably do another one later on as well, sometime when you got the time.
Sure, you bet.
To go over it a bit more, because it's incredible information, isn't it?
I think it's staying alive, Don.
It is, yeah.
With people like you and others, Jim Fetzer and that, are keeping it alive, and I think people are starting to understand finally that it wasn't, jet fuel, and that it had to be a conspiracy to bring the buildings down, and people within the government and various other organizations were involved.
Well, okay, by definition, 9/11 was a conspiracy. Even if you believe the official story, 19 guys working to flatten half of Lower Manhattan, that's a conspiracy by definition. So then the next question you have to ask yourself is, okay, well, are these 19 jackwagons, are they actually capable of wreaking all this havoc? And are these guys suicide bombers that turned up alive after 9/11? Well, obviously that whole story is a load of crap.
So you don't believe the 9/11 Commission report, Don?
It's right up there with your Warren Commission report.
That was a great report. It was absolute 100% factual.
Yeah. Well, I mean, put a lot of work into it, but yep.
It was like the photos just come out, Don. Can you believe that? Because I saw it on the news the other night, the reactions of Dick Cheney and these people, these demons in the White House when they saw 9/11 on the day. Did you see that story? Came out all over the news.
That was a classic. Yeah.
It was showing us their reactions, like the same reaction Hillary Clinton had when they supposedly were going in and killing Osama bin Laden, and then they said it was fake. But this one's the new one, Garth, and it's got Dick Cheney sitting in a chair with his feet up watching the towers coming down. And it's like they must think that people are so stupid. Or it just seems like they don't care anymore, Don. You know, it's just a mock of the human race doing that, you know. I mean, who's going to be stupid enough to believe that crap, you know?
Yeah, I could envision Dick Cheney sitting down there in the bunker, you know, rubbing his hands together and stating, I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah, rubbing his legs together like a demonic cricket.
Yeah.
slimy.
Yeah, well, he was the one. That what fascinated me was when that guy, when they had that inquiry, and Cheney said, the orders stand.
Yeah, Norman Netta, yeah, he's in there and he overheard the well, it's 50 kilometers out. The orders still stand. Yeah, have you heard anything to the contrary? Of course the order still stands. You know?
And nobody's talking about the orders. Who gave the orders?
Well, it sure wasn't W. He was down in Florida, safely out of the way. You know, I think that was the first part of the plan, was to get him out of town.
Are you reading a children's book, was he, Don?
Upside down.
Just... You know, I've heard George Bush described as, you know, the demonic chimp is what some people have called him. And so
chimps.
Yeah, I know.
Don, come on.
They're not, most of them aren't mass murderers like that.
Oh,
yeah,
my God. Yeah, this is something else.
We really, so they're like, well, do you think George Bush planned it? I'm like, hell no. And I was lifting weights. I know this must have been 8-9 years ago. I was lifting weights on a Sunday morning, and it was just me and a black guy in the club. And, we were, for whatever reason, we started talking about 9/11, and I'm like, do you really think George Bush was behind all that? And he looks at me like I was a complete moron, and he goes, too fucking stupid. Come on, man.
Yeah, I reckon he's about a point over retarded.
Probably maybe a skosh over room temperature. That's about it.
I think you're being too lenient there.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's quite crazy because he's related to so-called royals. You know, we know that. The Bush family are very heavily involved blood-wise or bloodline-wise.
Yep.
And when you have a look at the royals and you read into Greg Hallett's stuff, it's rather frightening that these people, have maintained so much power for so long when they're actually ring-ins. They're illegitimate. And it's quite crazy.
Jewish, Garth. The Queen, mother's Jewish on her mother's side.
I mean, when you look at what's happening today, you got a choice between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. it's like the Jews have, you know, like it's a bet each way. They can't lose.
Yeah. Heads we win, tails you lose.
That's right.
That's pretty scary, Don. Just doing a bit of research on Donald Trump. He's very heavily aligned with Netanyahu and Israel. His daughter converted to Judaism, and his daughter's husband is a Jew.
Well, and the thing of it is, now a lot of the guys I've been reading lately think he's the most pro-white candidate in the bunch.
Yeah, and do you think, Don, that what he's doing is sucking out the energy and the votes from any other independents over there in the U.S. to get everything, and then at the end he'll fizzle out and it'll all go to Hillary?
Well, my initial thought was he's a wingman for Jeb. Jeb is kind of floundering, though, so I don't know if maybe Trump is their plan B now, because I think Jeb is the guy the power structure really wanted to try to sell to the public. But the Republican base can't stand him. And obviously nobody on the Democratic side would ever think about voting for him. So really he's Jeb Bush's, his total, his aggregate audience might be 25-30% of the voters. So I don't really see any path for him to win anything.
Because most of his audience are renter crowd, isn't it? I was reading an article.
Well, it's his big rent backer. His big backer is Sheldon Adelson, and there you go. So Jeb Bush is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Jews.
It's says here from Renegade Tribune, what Donald Trump's saying about illegal immigration is great. But what about his plan to grant amnesty to millions of good illegal aliens and his stance on massive legal immigration? And what about his Zionist warmongering Jewish family and Jewish business relationships?
Yeah, those are all a point. I mean, you can't do business on a big level without being involved in the Jews, with the Jews in some way, shape, or fashion. So that's one point we've talked about. It's like, okay, well, you can't be a big East Coast real estate magnet without working with Jews. Okay, it's unavoidable, no matter who you are. Okay, so, but his daughter converting to Judaism, that is a little troubling, to say the least.
She converted to Judaism in 2009. And that was before she married a real estate developer, Jared Kushner, who's Jewish, yeah. So Donald Trump is very openly pro-Jew, and he's pro-gay, and also pro-black, and that was black, and that was back in 1999, it says. So,
well, I mean, and I don't want to come up. Yeah, I don't want to come off sounding like, okay, I'm anti-black and anti-gay and anti-Jew and. Well, okay, in a way, I guess I'm a Christian, so by definition, I think Jews are deceived and are probably on the wrong side. Now,
yeah,
do I want to see every Jew that was ever born burn in hell? No. Like our standard line is, hey, those people should convert. Not everybody that I've come across that's Jewish is just totally evil, but
exactly.
You get up to the top, though, and that's all it is, and the people on the bottom are, the lower rung Jews that you're probably going to encounter in your life are basically as propagandized as, the average person in the public. So,
yeah, it's hard one, Don. I mean, I know you wanted to go into this white genocide today.
We had the David Duke clip on the way in. Yeah, and
need to get this nonsense, this whole racism thing out of the way. It's absolute nonsense, and it's being used as a weapon. It just spoils conversation. It sends people running from the room, doesn't it? People are allowed to get away with anything, and if you're branded a racist, it's like being branded a pedophile. It's happening right now. It's absolutely out of control.
I don't know how I came across this. On Twitter or maybe on the Daily Stormer. I come across this white genocide thing. I'm like, what are they talking about? Okay, so I started looking at some of the memes. And I'm like, oh my god! Then they're invading Europe. So I quick went over, checked the news, and yeah, there's just boatload after boatload of African heading for Italy, and then they go from there, they make their way, most of them, to the UK or Germany. And Sweden is getting inundated. Finland's getting inundated. Norway. All white countries now are getting hit with massive non-white immigration.
Except okay, for Israel.
Well, yeah, Israel is a, you know, if you talk to the, you know, the hardcore Jews, they don't think that they're white. They don't like white people. And everybody that I've encountered, you know, on my, in the last couple of weeks of doing some white genocide stuff on Twitter, everyone that's attacked me has basically been Jewish. I've asked them, I've confronted them, and they've either admitted it or they acknowledge it without admitting it. So,
well, the Jews, Don, from this one I say from the New Observer, the Jews demand open borders for the United States but use DNA to keep Israel racially pure.
Yes.
They're saying very, Jews in America are 100% united in demanding open borders and immigration reform, but they want to keep their country racially pure, and which they do brutally.
Yes, they do. It's not even if you want to get into Israel, a DNA test won't even that's not the be-all end-all. Not only do you have to pass that, you also have to you have to get you questioned by some Jewish elders, and so you have to pass that as well. It's not just DNA. And now, yeah. Whereas you can almost call them formerly white countries now. It's just open borders. And, you know, I looked this up a couple months ago. I was trying to think, hey, is the United States even a country anymore? Because, you know, the perception out there is the United States is this big, robust, powerful, wealthy nation. But are we even really a country? I started to look at that. Well, what defines a nation? Okay, what makes you a sovereign country? Well, the first step of that process would be, you have to have defined borders. Okay, well, on the map, there is a border. But in practicality, there is no border, especially on the south. Now, going from the U.S. to Canada, you'll probably get scrutinized. But and coming back from Canada, you'll probably have to go through the rigmarole. But it seems like going into Mexico, well, I guess maybe if you're an American trying to get into Mexico, you might face some opposition. But if you're coming up the other way, it's just... there might be, you know, there's maybe a couple of checkpoints here and there, but I don't know how many people they're stopping. I've heard estimates now that 25% of Mexico has now moved into the United States.
Gee, that's massive. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, so... Are they even really a minority anymore? It's hard to say that. I mean, I guess on paper, whites are still 68% of the population, 67, but that's rapidly dwindling. And okay, so I guess if we're going to talk about white genocide, maybe we should define exactly what it is we're talking about here.
Yeah.
So we're all agreed now that the European countries and you guys in Australia and then here in the U.S., so all of these white countries are getting massive non-white immigration. Okay, that in and of itself is not genocide. The part that makes it genocide is the forced assimilation. Whereas here in the United States now, we've got this big diversity push.
In the neighborhoods, yeah. Tell us about that, HUD, Don.
HUD just came out with some new rules here. And,
man.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So neighborhoods are too white, according to Obama.
Yeah, quote, to ensure that every American is able to choose to live in a community they feel proud of, unquote, HUD has published a new fair housing regulation intended to give people access to better neighborhoods than the ones they currently live in. The goal is to help communities understand, quote, fair housing barriers, unquote, and, quote, establish clear goals for improving integrated living patterns and overcoming historic patterns of segregation, unquote. So what that really means is now, in the past, when the 80s and 90s, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, when the massive influx hit the United States, whites abandoned the inner city and moved out to the suburbs. And what's going on now with this new HUD policy is, hey, we're going to go start sticking the minorities out in the white suburbs. We're going to make every white suburb now have Section 8 housing. And, you know, I do some real estate stuff, you know, on the side and whatnot. And I don't own any rental property, but one of my buddies does, and he's got a Section 8 house down in Minneapolis. And what essentially that is the government guarantees the person's rent. As long as the person does what they're supposed to do and works or whatever, the government pays the landlord directly. So they're going to, so HUD is now going to start doing Section 8 housing, not just in the inner city, but out in the white suburbs. So now
it's crazy.
Yeah. In reality now, okay. So now you can't have, you cannot have, a white state in the United States. You can't have a white city in the United States. You can't have a white suburb in the United States. You can't even have a white neighborhood anymore.
That's crazy. So, that's getting frightening. Well, they term it white flight because it appears that the white people are just moving over to where there are more white people. Happening in the western suburbs in Sydney area that I know of. And this has been happening for many, many years as these poorer suburbs and the more the mass of the immigrants come in and they settle. And, you know, you might get a street. It'll be taken strictly over by by Chinese or Vietnamese. And as the whites flee, the cost of the housing, the value of the houses drop dramatically. And this is what happens, or as more as these other races come into a street, say, for example, the value of the houses will drop because as the whites move out.
It's we're like the tribes in the Amazon rainforest, Garth. They just keep moving further and further into the forest as it gets cut down and they just keep getting exposed. But that English actor, Don Terence Stamp, said that. He said English is now a foreign language in London. And he said...
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
yeah,
I saw
he
that,
said, so. I feel like an alien in my own country, and he's moved out as well. I guess a lot of the white British people are just moving to the country, moving out, but with this forced assimilation, as the cities get full, then those places are going to get done too. And so the white people are always going to be on the move. And I got a new article here from the Washington Free Beacon, Don, I'd like to ask you about this. It's saying illegal immigrants outnumber unemployed Americans, which is frightening. 11.3 million illegal immigrants in the U.S. So they're saying the number of illegal immigrants in the United States totaled 11.3 million in 2014, outnumbering the 9.6 million Americans who were unemployed at the same year. This is according to all the research. So you've got 11.3 million immigrants there, and you've got, you know, 9.6 million unemployed Americans, and these immigrants are coming into the towns and cities. I mean, where is everyone going to go, and where's the work? You know, what about the American people who were there in the first place? What jobs are they going to get?
Well, that's a big question. So one of the points is, okay, so let's just get clean up the definition of white genocide. So massive immigration plus the other key component is the forced assimilation. So say if you're a black guy and you go from, say you go from Nigeria or Libya or Ethiopia, whatever, you move to Italy. Okay. Now that's not, you know, okay. So now you're a minority. Okay. Well, there's still a 50 all black nations basically in Africa. So even if you have a black area that gets flooded with, say, Asians or whites, suddenly it's not black genocide because there's still a bunch of black countries. There's still places for black people to go without being intruded upon by Asians or whites or, you know, what have you. But what we're seeing now is there's nowhere for white people to go. There is no white homeland now. It's all under attack. So that's how it's genocidal. Now, are people going door to door and rounding up white people and shooting them? No. Okay, so this is more subtle. Okay,
it's slow decline, Don. Slow decline.
That's exactly it. Yeah. So if you're running society and your plan was to, hey, we got to get rid of all the white people, how would you do it? Would you just turn off the economy and then round everybody up and put them in a camp and then shoot them? No, that would probably lead to open rebellion. But a much smarter play is, especially if you're only like, say, the Jews that are 2, 3, 4% of the population, A smarter way to go would be to flood the white countries with minorities and just blend them out of existence. Mm. And that's what we're seeing. So is this going to happen overnight? No. But it's, you know, slowly but surely, over the last 100 years now, the white population is going way down.
And particularly, Don, too, with the breeding. I mean, we're less than, I think you've got to be about 2.2 or something per couple to just stay even. Well, it appears, I know in Australia, I think we're under 2, and I think in America you're under 2 for the whites.
Yeah, well, the bigger, even worse than that, though, is there's no white homeland. So it doesn't matter what your birth rate is. If you've got, if there's unlimited non-white migration, it doesn't matter what your birth rate is. You're never going to keep up. You're never going to be a majority in your own country.
Mm. Yes.
And it just seemed, yeah, and a lot of them, Don, as you said, there's the... you get big cities, you know, like Detroit and you know, over there, and that kind of where there's no work, and a lot of anyone with money is going to move out, aren't they? If they're white, they're not going to stay there, and then these cities get taken over by illegal immigrants and crime. You know?
Yeah, Detroit is now 11% white, so in our parlance, we call that 89% diverse. So what happens? Okay, I used to be a guy like 5 years ago. I thought, well, there really isn't any – we're all one human race. There really isn't that big of a difference between blacks and whites. And then, you know, in the last month or two here now, I've done some homework on that, and it's kind of eye-opening. I found a chart, and I don't think I have it right here in front of me, but it basically divided into thirds. It was black, white, Asian, and it's like, okay, gestation period, you know, blacks are shorter, whites intermediate, you know, Asians a bit longer. It's like how long you're in the womb. And then this is like, you know, anthropological, you know, they've done studies on this stuff, you know, for several years, and this is the numbers they came up with. And IQ is a kind of an eye-opener. The average black IQ is 85. The average white IQ is 100, and the average Asian IQ is 106. And then the next thing was cultural achievements. Black, low, and then white and Asian were high. So then I looked at it, okay, so really who builds the big successful societies on this planet? And it's white people. Why do people want to move to the United States? Yeah. Sure, China had been a successful society for thousands of years, but you know, who invented the light bulb? You know, that's white guys. Who invented, Ben Franklin didn't invent electricity, but he invented ways to harness it. You know, that happens with white people. You know, Henry Ford invented the assembly line.
Yeah.
Basically the Industrial Revolution happened because of white people. A modern functioning society is basically impossible without white people. That's what I'm seeing. So
when the whites go and move out, there's going to be one hell of a mess.
Oh my God!
And that's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing in Detroit and in Zimbabwe. They kicked out all the white farmers back in like '99 and 2000, and the black guy running the country. You know, even 3 years ago, he said, oh, no, we're never going to bring any whites back. And then now at the end of last year, the end of 2014, he said, yeah, we're looking for some money to pay the white people to come back and farm. Because they were a big food exporter. Now they're an importer. And they need emergency supplies of food just to keep people from starving. The economy's collapsed. Because they don't export anything now, the economy is in the toilet.
God, man. You got President Obama over there in Kenya telling them to be gay. I mean, well, on national television, telling the Kenyans that they need to be more lenient to gays and accept gay rights, and Obama's husband's over there. you know, in the US, that's, because that looks like a man, Don. I don't care what anyone says. And I think Obama's a homosexual because he's all this talking about Garth as being gay. He's
Well, he is gay.
The Kenyans are looking at him and he's telling everyone, you know, have to be gay. And it's like, is this the most important thing on your agenda, Mr. Obama? You know?
Well, yeah, okay, look, there's kind of a twofold thing there, okay? Why is with all the gay rights now all of a sudden? Like 20, 30 years ago, you know, you were just shunned if you were gay. That's like the worst thing you could tell your parents. Hey, I'm gay. You know, you would be ostracized from church, from school, everywhere, okay? So now, did I necessarily support that? Yeah, maybe not. I didn't see that it, you know, how much... There's always been like, what is it, 3-5% of the population that's gay. I thought that's a wedge distraction issue. But now why is it being pushed all of a sudden? Well, I think part of this is what we're seeing is, you know, okay, look at the Georgia Guidestones where they want the population reduced to 500 million. So if you're say you're one of the people that rule, one of the 300-400 people that rules this planet, and your agenda is, hey, we got to get rid of people, what is the one thing you can do that's going to reduce the worldwide population? The number one step you can do is get rid of the white people.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Mm. Because the white farmers grow so much food. Now, as much as we're accused of being racist, A, why does everybody want to live with us? And B, what has happened to the black population since white farming technology took off in the 20s, 30s, and 40s? You know, it's gone up. Why is that? Because we're shipping out all this food. So if you get rid of all the white farmers, okay, now – this is what the Bolsheviks did in Russia where they just – there they prevented people physically from farming. You know, on pain of death, if they caught you farming too much, they would shoot you because they wanted the population down. So now it's really hard to pull that in 2015. So what they want to do is just assimilate all the white people out of existence. And so that will naturally there'll be less production, less science, less IQ in your society. And even if Asians are a bit smarter, it seems like what one thing I've read is it seems to be that whites are probably better parents for whatever reason.
Yeah, more loving, more spiritual and closer to nature are the white people, Don, in the deeper way. But this is a moral thing as well. I mean, they're taking us down, our children down, morally and stripping away their... their love and their care for others, and they're just mixing in this disgusting society of deviant behavior. You know, I just got an article up today, Garth, that I sent you from Truth Uncensored. Starting in kindergarten, children will be taught heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, and transgender lifestyles, Don. And so this is family life education in the United States. These lessons will include these homosexual and bisexual transgender identity lessons, which will include discussions about oral and anal sex. These are kindergarten students.
Yeah, it's rather frightening.
So
isn't it? Yeah.
This is in Virginia and these places, so in the United States. So this is what they're doing. And now there's another one from Fox News, Don. Oregon allowing 15-year-olds to get state-subsidized sex-changed operations. 15-year-olds to get sex-change operations. Yeah, you know?
To me, I see this as all as the judification.
It is, because you look at their pornography industry and you look at what they do, and it's the same. It matches up. You think, well, who's doing this? Who's the enemy within? Who can I look at? And look, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, it's the judification of the United States and all of Western Europe.
And your kindergarten children, you know, white American children in kindergarten.
Yeah, we're breaking down all of the formerly functional, productive, wholesome aspects of society.
Exactly.
And now we're replacing that with filth and perversion and dysfunction.
It's sort of family unit, you know. The family unit is what they're targeting, Don. You know, the big families.
Yep. That's part of it.
That's the enemy, the white family.
Well, they even talk about that. That was it. That the guy's got that plan for creating a new slave race, you know, by mixing the whites and the blacks. I guess maybe the thought process, you know, because these guys don't think like normal people do. Okay, so, and I'm sure if people are listening to your show, they're, you know, we're more or less probably preaching to the choir on a lot of this stuff.
People need to know, you know.
Yeah, the guys that run the world don't think like normal productive people.
That's why we,
exactly. So when you talk to your friends or your neighbors about this sort of thing, they just can't comprehend it because they, well, I'm like, just because you wouldn't do it doesn't mean they won't. These guys will do anything. It's all on the table. Well, I wouldn't want to breed white people out of existence to create a new slave race. I sure in the hell wouldn't. I mean, nobody I know would be doing that, but if we can observe a pattern here, that's exactly what's going on.
The Jewish rabbis stated it, Don, didn't they, that they want to flood Europe with the Asian and dark-skinned races to mix with the European whites, especially the women, and they called the outcome of those children that would be born mongrels. There's actually, I think, they've released pictures of what they, was a while ago, what they thought the new human would look like in our coming years, and it's not white, it's sort of a, as you said, Garth, it's sort of a, looks like a tribal sort of looking person because of the black and the Asian sort of mix as well. And when the white gets bred out, because the white gene, Don, I've read, gets bred out very quickly.
Yeah, like if you have a, you know, if you have an offspring with a
it's broken.
Black, yeah, they're going to be immediately a darker shade.
Very dark. Yeah, and, yeah, yeah. You don't get much of the white in there at all.
No, and this is not just happening by accident. So we've got this quote from Wesley Clark, I think, is particularly eye-opening. And Wesley Clark is a Jew, and here's what he said. Quote, "There is no place in modern Europe for ethnically pure states. That's a 19th century idea, and we are trying to transition into the 21st century, and we are going to do it with multi-ethnic states." General Wesley Clark. He's the former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO. So that's a guy in the power structure. When a guy like that is saying this stuff, that carries weight.
Yes, definitely does.
He's not just some jackwagon at the end of the bar. This is a guy that ran NATO.
And bombed the crap out of Syria.
Yeah, let's face it, he's responsible for a big pile of bodies. This is a guy that's in the power structure, okay? He's not just some guy rambling on the internet. Wesley Clark is a serious individual, okay? And when he talks about stuff, you need to take it seriously.
Yeah. Well, that certainly would. Because as you were saying earlier about the immigration and you know, acting as a sort of a way of creating this white genocide, because of the fact that Adam mentioned that the whites do can be bred out very quickly in comparison to other races. Because I remember reading ages ago where a number of times Chinese and particularly from the Negro point of view, they can throw back an actual pure bred from an association, say, with another race. They can sort of reinvent themselves, if you like. I don't know whether that's true or not, but these people thought it was. But anyway, just on that, with the genocide attack on the whites, you mentioned about the immigration side, but whilst we're creating so many of these homosexuals who don't produce, probably that would be taken up, I would imagine, with the amount of, say, for instance, the Muslims in America are breeding at about 8-1. Because
yeah, that's they're like that. Sort of, everywhere. Yeah.
What I'm saying is one sort of defies the other. There's this – people are bringing in all this immigration from outside, and they're all breeding at a rate of knots. So that's certainly not going to hold back
course. The population, what would you do? Is it? What would you do when you got to America or Australia, Garth, and given – you know, welfare handouts and a place to live and a nice lifestyle.
No, but I was talking more from the population point of view. If they want to cull the populations, the worst thing you could do is encourage, say, the Muslims at about 8 or 9-1. And, I mean, the Vietnamese and the Chinese, there's three races that breed like breed very strongly. I was almost going to say something else.
It's the white race. That's the one that's in their targets. That's the one they want to get rid of very quickly. The others,
yeah, but are they encouraging these immigrants to breed?
Yeah,
absolutely. That's the whole point of it.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And for what? If they want to cut back to say 500, is it 500 million or something? They want to cut us back to.
I think that's going to create
a problem.
Well, I think what the thought process is, okay, if you get rid of all the whites, now it doesn't matter if you have to breed like crazy these other races for a while. You get rid of the whites, then naturally, once all the whites are gone, your formally advanced functioning society is going to start breaking down. And, you know, like look at, I was looking at some of the numbers. In the last 35 years in the United States, blacks have killed, I believe it's 340,000 other blacks. The black on black crime. It's huge. It's, you know, that you talk about a Holocaust, you know, black on black crime is ridiculous. And I saw some numbers. I didn't have a chance to verify these. So, I'm not 100% sure, but I in my perusing of the web, I saw that, under white rule in South Africa, there was about 170 murders per year. And since the whites got kicked out, now it's up over 20,000.
Yeah, so maybe they're just going to create a whole potpourri of butchery and slaughter when they get rid of the whites.
That's it. It's just, okay, now the whites are gone, so everyone else is going to, then they'll just kill themselves off. Yeah. They'll starve and they'll fight it out over the scraps of what's left. Yeah.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
That seems to be the plan. Yeah,
yeah, got to get rid of the whites. Yeah, that's the main objective there.
If you want to break down society, so in the last few months now, I've been studying the protocols of Zion quite a bit, and they talk about the need to abolish all of the governments of the Goyim and replace that with the Jewish superstate.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to look at the United States back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, you saw a massive superpower. Okay, how are you going to take that down? You can't invade, you know, per se, like an army from China. That was always the, you know, we'd always hear these guys, well, they're going to come in through Alaska and they're going to march down Canada. And okay, well, I'm still waiting for that Chinese invasion. I haven't seen that. But we're the invasion.
It'll be first here, Don.
Yeah.
Worry about Australia.
Yeah. The invasion I am seeing, though, is people from Mexico. And now it's not like an army per se, but hey, these guys, a lot of them are armed, and they're killing. Down on the, you know, and you almost have to use air quotes on the U.S. border, because it's, you know, it's there in, like, name only. It's like Vietnam. Apparently there's about 55,000 deaths a year down on the U.S.-Mexico border, basically over gang drug fights or whatever.
Killing each other.
It's basically a Vietnam every year down there. Yeah.
The thing with Australia, Don, is that the Chinese, there was just a show on mainstream media the other night that they're buying everything. I mean, everything here in Australia is being sold. All our food lands, you know, all our production, right down our water. They're buying absolutely everything. I spoke to a person who's a property developer and buys all the properties and stuff. They're Chinese, and they said in Sydney they're buying 70-80% of the properties, and around these parts, the northern beaches, where it can be $1 million for a house, no one can really afford that anymore, especially young people. And the Chinese are coming into the auctions and just with cash, you know, $2 million, $3 million, they're buying all the biggest homes. And some of them, I've read, Garth, are students from China. They're just students, and they're buying $3, $4, $5 million homes. And now they're chopping up our schools, Don, and they're selling parts of the schools off to Chinese students to come in. As I said, all our production land, and mainly our dairy and meat, where we graze our cattle, they're coming in and securing all that so they can look after themselves, because they're absolutely stated 100% on national TV that it's all about feeding the Chinese population because they need all these resources. They're into South America now, all the timber and all the resources there. They're taking all over the shipping companies, And so, you know, I'm left sort of thinking, well, what is the average Australian going to do in the future coming? What are we going to eat, you know, because we're not going to own anything. Yeah, it's just frightening when another country like that just buys up everything and you don't have any rights anymore to your own land. And the farmers are all being pushed off, you know,
You're now experiencing diversity and multiculturalism.
We've got that as well. I mean, in our cities, that we've got the whole spectrum, but we've got that scary thing as well where the Chinese are just buying everything, you know, and we don't need them to do that. We've got everything in Australia that we need. We don't need anyone. And we've got a spineless, gutless government selling everything off.
In America, they're making it very difficult here as well and in New Zealand for people to seek alternative lifestyles. I mean, lifestyles where they can be self-sufficient. And I know in America, not all over, but in quite a few places, they're stopping people, growing a reasonable-sized garden and selling the food out for an income, things like that. So the alternative lifestyle is sort of under the hammer. And we've noticed that here in Australia over the last period. Maybe this has got something to do with allowing the Chinese, because our present Prime Minister is right behind the move to allow the Chinese to buy our land, particularly our good farming lands. They're not going to buy the crap farming lands. They're going to buy the good ones because they've got the money, as you just suggested, in their pockets ready to go.
Don't forget the Chinese free trade deal, Garth, that Tony Abbott signed off, which will come in and when they do big building projects, Don, they can actually bring in their own workers and bypass our workers here. So you've got all our plumbers and electricians and all these people that help to build the industry. The Chinese are going to be building apartment blocks and malls or whatever, extremely low grade, not very well built, you know, really crappy compared to what Australians build, and then bring in their own cheap labour and bypass our work system, you know. And this is what our Prime Minister signed off on. Can you believe
that? Yep, diversity is chasing down the last white person.
It's unbelievable.
It doesn't mean they're not building anything better. They're just, it just seems to be kind of like an invasion of termites. You know, you're just getting eaten alive. You know, in your formerly secure country. Hey, you know, you guys were kind of like Americans, except you went to Australia. Our guys went to, you know, the new world here, as it were. And we built a society in, you know, less than 100 years that actually defeated Great Britain. Now, you can make your point, well, were we recolonized later financially? Yeah, but how many other countries, all those black nations in Africa have been colonized? Well, we were a colony, you know, we fought it off somehow. How was that? You know, we were able to build a society, and only a small percentage of the population actually fought or even supported the Revolutionary War. But yet we overcame the biggest empire on the planet and built, you know, built, dare I say, the greatest country that the world's ever seen.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's quite amazing that where the rot started was when they put that Federal Reserve in 1913.
It started even before that. The first bank in the United States was a Rothschild bank.
Crazy.
And the charter didn't get renewed, and that's how you got your War of 1812. And then, even though the United States quote unquote won the war, it wasn't enough to defeat the second bank of the United States, which they renewed the charter, and then it was the second bank in the United States. So you had a Rothschild bank there up until Andrew Jackson. Yeah, he ran for president, and his slogan was Jackson and no bank. And he eventually he said, you're a den of vipers and thieves, and I will rout you out. By the eternal God, I will rout you out.
Pit of snakes.
Yeah, the pit of he routed him out. And he kept him out until, you know, he died, but then you got the Federal Reserve in 1913. And that led directly to World War I.
Yes.
Yeah. And then
then the Russian Revolution, because Wall Street financed that.
Yeah,
Why is Russia, Don, locking up people for Holocaust denial?
Yeah, I've been seeing that too. And yeah, just to get back on the white genocide theme real quick. You mean the Jews are out to kill all the whites? Well, let's look at the Bolshevik Revolution real quick. The Bolshevik Revolution was a Jewish run revolution top to bottom. Yes. And was it really a revolution or was it an invasion? Because yeah, they were financed by all the big Jewish Wall Street banks. And they killed between, you know, the Russian Revolution, you know, the Bolshevik Revolution, and the ensuing 70 years of communism after that, I've read estimates between 85 and 110 million white people.
Massive, yes.
Killed, yeah. Yep. So, well, they wouldn't do that. What do you mean they wouldn't do it? I mean, how many Russians did they kill? That's why there's so much anti-Semitism, you know, quote unquote, in Russia. Because they know what these Jews do to you.
Shows they're still in there. If they're locking people up for Holocaust denial.
Yep. Yeah. I mean,
who is Putin, Germany, really?
In Germany, nobody can publicly question the Holocaust.
It's crazy.
Without facing a stiff jail sentence.
After what was done to them. To Dresden. Hellstorm.
Yeah. If you read that, yeah, I listened to that guy that wrote the Hellstorm book. I think Kevin Barrett had him on a couple months
ago.
Tom
Goodrich.
Wow. Yeah, wow. What an interview that was. Yeah. I mean, if that won't get the hair on the back of your neck to stand up, I don't know what will.
Yeah, frightening stuff.
Good on you, Tom.
And he's a great guy. The interesting side of that, Don, is that I've heard figures of the German people who were in America prior to World War One, and there was some people are saying up to 50%. Some people are saying between 40% and 50%. But there were a massive amount of German people living in America. So that's how much the media turned America against Germany.
Yeah, I read that. I read that too, and I'm like, yeah, there is a lot of German in Minnesota here. Yeah, there's a lot of Germans here. You got a lot of Germans, Scandinavians. Well, you used to. Now they're shipping in the Somalians left and right. I mean, you get on the train now downtown, it's half Somalian. It's like Mogadishu, you know, in parts of South Minneapolis. I mean,
Christ.
You ought to come out here to...
crazy.
Where's that street? Adam, up the top there near the cross. Oh, it's been 5 or 6 years since I've been there, but you can't see a white face. That's in the middle of Sydney.
Yeah, mainly Chinese. They love it. Yeah.
So it's happening all over. It's definitely a planned agenda to just absolutely not kill us out, but just sort of
yeah. Well, before we let Don go, Garth, just throw in this, Don, as well. Get your quick opinion on this, because you also have what we have in Sweden with the sexual assaults as well.
Oh,
we had that
great
in London.
Point. Yeah, okay, yeah.
But
yeah,
a new story, and I put this up on our site. It was saying illegal aliens, Garth, committed 400 child sexual assaults in North Carolina in February. This was this year in February 2015. So that's incredible. 400 child sexual assaults by illegal aliens in the state of Carolina in the United States.
That's frightening.
Unbelievable. Yeah. In a month? In Carolina?
That's a number I hadn't even heard that. I didn't hear it was that bad. The numbers I've been seeing in Sweden, 1 in 4 Swedish women now will get raped.
That is a frightening figure, isn't it?
So that goes back, the violence and the murder. I mean, even if we didn't have any Mexicans coming into this country, if you just look at the blacks kill whites 7.5 times the clip that whites kill blacks.
Blacks are
like, what, 12, 13, 14% of the population?
Yeah, but the whites don't do this sort of stuff. In general, I'm not gonna sit here and protect all whites, Don, because there's a whole lot of them and there are a whole bunch of assholes out there. on the mainstream media, Garth, you've got white blonde people attacking other white people because they're trying to stand up for their country and having a go in them. And you're like, are you that bought and sold by the TV station that hires you, you're prepared to sell out your own race and be that nasty and vicious?
That's it. Know? Yeah, I posted one. Yeah, I posted one white genocide meme on Facebook a few weeks ago, and boy, did that get some. I mean, I had white people attacking me. You know, you're a piece of shit. Da 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 da.
It's amazing. How can they be so stupid?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't have to have a 140 IQ to see what's going on here.
And these assaults, Don, in Carolina, these assaults by illegal immigrants, the charges range from child pornography, that's manufacturing child pornography, so probably filming, raping children, and the rape of a six-year-old girl, and incest. And so this is what these people are doing when they get into Carolina in the United States. Incest, child pornography, rape. You know, and there's not enough work for the Americans who are in the place in the original place, in the first place, you know?
Yeah, it's like that in Greece, too, where they're flooding. Greece is an economy that has been, let's face it, the big Jew bankers have really screwed that country over to begin with.
Oh,
with massive austerity.
Yeah,
now let's send in a flood of Africans now on top of all that. I mean,
just what they need.
I don't know how Greek society is going to survive. I mean, the United States has been going downhill for a while, but we're not in any danger of a collapse, you know, in the next 2 weeks or anything. But it's kind of a slowly devolving thing is what's going on.
Spread evil. And,
yep.
Ready I to mean, be finished off.
Yeah, here's,
well,
here's one of the...
Here's one. In the protocols, they said in the protocols, this sort of was much better than just trying to kill in war because... You know, this is the whole thing about how Hitler was supposed to have killed 6 million Jews, and it's physically impossible because to kill and bury somebody, it takes a lot of energy and a lot of this and that and a lot of time. You know,
these Germans had magic ovens that could burn.
Special
ovens.
Well, in the protocols, I'm sure I read there where it says this method is much more efficient than war. Yeah, like getting people to kill each other and to starve them out and bring in diseases.
Getting all these illegal aliens, Don, into Scandinavia and Sweden, and you've got those beautiful blonde women. I mean, they're the women they see on the Jewish pornography, so they're going to go, mine, I'm going to grab them.
Yeah.
You know?
They're going nuts.
Yeah, because they're blonde women and they're in porno and they're sluts, and that's what they want. You know, so it's open for them. Do whatever you want.
There's already vigilante movements coming in some of these places. Even in Sweden, there was one was started.
But in Rotherham. Yeah, in England, I think, as well, there's a few.
Italy,
we need to take matters into our own hands.
I read a story in Italy where the citizens went over. There was a new they built a new center for the refugees, quote-unquote. And the Italians broke in there before they placed any refugees in there. They went through the whole place, took every bed, took it out in the front yard, and burned them all.
Right?
And they said, and they set up tents, and they said, "We're not leaving until you ship these people out of here."
Mm. That's what will happen.
Do you think, Don, if you live in somewhere like Carolina and a local six-year-old white girl gets raped, do you think that the local men should get their clubs and their stuff and go and take these people down and break every bone in their body and ship them out? Because
I don't want to be a guy that's up on the radio.
I believe in vengeance. I think they do. I think they rape a kid like that. They need to go down. You know.
You know. I was just thinking. You know, if somebody would have done that to my goddaughter back when, you know, I'd have a hard time restraining myself. Let's put it that way.
But
you know,
death wish, John.
Death wish movies.
Well, do you think that's what they're driving us into? Because they're. You know,
well,
are they waiting for this to happen and they can come in and annihilate it?
Well, see, that's the thing. It's like, get the people fighting with each other, get the race war started. That says that in the protocols, too.
Yeah.
Get the race war started and then let the people duke it out amongst themselves, and the elites just kind of sit off in their corner and watch Rome burn.
The media's doing that, aren't they, down in the U.S. with the blacks and the whites? They really want to create this big cities and race wars so everyone hates each other, you know?
Yeah, every time they can find some sort of white violence against blacks, boy, is that trumpeted all over the media.
Yeah, especially
But when you look at the numbers in reality, it's just the opposite. But they're doing whatever they can to inflame the black population.
Hmm. Well, they've been doing that for a long, long time because I remember there was one black guy, I can't think of his name, he was a professor, and he was exposing the actual slave trade, which was financed and promoted by the Jewish sector. And he was dead against it. He was trying to explain to the white people as well that it's not the fault of theirs, because, you know, there were just as many white people were used as slaves all through history. But the Jews tend to be able to twist it around through their media and make it stand out as though the white is the sole responsibility for all the the dreadful things done to the black people.
We're all fighting each other, but we're not looking at who's really the real enemy.
Who's
here.
Responsible? Who's doing
it? Yeah, they just get away with murder. And while we're all killing, fighting each other. And I don't have any problems with anyone of different countries, Don, whatsoever. I mean, I think other races and cultures are absolutely amazing, but the problem we have, as you know, is this forced immigration and assimilation and pushing white people out of their homes. You know, this is absolutely criminal and illegal behavior. It's terrible. And that doesn't have anything to do with racism. You know, I mean, as you know, Don, what would happen if you went to some of these countries, if you went to Indonesia or you went to these African countries or you went to the Middle East? I mean, could you get handouts? Could you get fed from the government? Could you get a nice paying job and a house given to you? You're not going to get jack shit. You're not going to get anything.
No, I'm not.
But they're supposed to come into our countries and we're supposed to just bend over backwards and give them everything and comply to them and learn their language and be acceptable to their cultures and their way of life. You know, and give. But we can't do that there. That's the thing.
Well, that's because they're trying to phase us out.
Exactly. It's pretty obvious, you know. It's got nothing to do with racism, and this is our homelands, and we're getting pushed out through this plan, and it's dreadful, you know, and people need to start seeing it. You know, but it seems like, as you said, Don, so a lot of the white people don't see it, and then they'll attack you for trying to stand up and have a say. You know, it's all these groups they've created now, all these goody two-shoes through Agenda 21, dobbing on everybody, you know, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, one thing, you know, I've come across is that there's a dire need for a white homeland. You know, white genocide and non-white assimilation is forced because there is no white homeland or reservation where we can preserve ourselves. We're the only group of people on the planet that are denied that human right by the anti-whites.
Imagine a white homeland, Don, and they turn the whole world against us, they demonize us, and then blow the shit out of us because they'd have all the power.
Well, I've talked to some people back and forth, and you know what? I think if there was an all-white homeland, and if we had 20 years, if we had 20 years to get our act together, we would be extremely fierce.
Just scary. You look what they did to Germany, you know, and it's just unbelievable. You read Tom Goodrich's book and just the absolute assault, Don, you know, the bombings in these cities and just again and again and again, and these people were just gone, you know, and there's only a few of them left trying to pick themselves up and get out of there, and they're bombed again and bombed again, you know, over and over. It's just the power they used against them, you know, and just no mercy. It's unbelievable. You know?
Yeah, really. What was the net effect of World War I and World War II? Well, you got Israel created, and you got a lot less white people. A lot of white people died in those wars.
Yeah, well, I guess I guess war's good for them, isn't it? I mean, they make weapons, they get paid, they make a lot of money, they destroy countries, they get their oil and their resources, they create mass immigration. You know,
it's a win.
These guys, just these bankers and these people in charge, just war after war after war, and they just benefit and get wealthier, and we just get torn to pieces.
Yeah. Yep. And then, you know, I guess where I really saw this first concept was, I don't know if you guys have read the book by Colonel Fletcher Prouty, JFK, Vietnam and the CIA and the Plot to Assassinate JFK, I believe is the name of the title of that book. And I read that book, and that is the book that has shaped my worldview the most. And one of the chapters in there is called Genocide by Transfer. Like, well, why was all this... I mean, why was there all this upheaval in Vietnam? Well, what they didn't tell you in the news was, and Prouty talks about this, they took 1 million people from North Vietnam, put them on ships and boats, whatever, and then shipped them down to South Vietnam and just dumped them off on the streets. And so that's where all these hot spots were popping up. Well, you can't just take, he said, it's like if you took a million people from Montreal and dumped them off in Times Square in New York, what's going to happen? You know, it's going to be a free-for-all. So it's not like the elites haven't used this in the playbook before. So when you're talking to the unwashed masses out there, there's no frame of reference for them because nobody told them about how the Vietnam War was actually fought. And genocide by transfer was a valid concept then. And so when I came across it now, I'm like, oh, you moron, you should have figured this out a long time ago. But when it just clicked with me when I saw Europe just basically getting invaded. This African invasion, and that's what it is. It's an invasion. I'm like, there is nowhere to hide. And you know, one of the memes I've come across, it's like, or this is right out of the training book, kind of the white genocide manual. It's anti-whites, of course, say that non-whites coming into a white area is freedom of movement, but whites moving away from non-whites must be stopped. And that's with like that HUD policy. So in other words, there's no escape for whites. Therefore, it is genocide against us. There can be no escape from white people, for white people, from this mixing the races. It is white genocide.
Well, that's what it is. That's yep. You can't get around it. That's it.
Yep. Massive immigration and forced assimilation is genocide when it happens to the Tibetans, and it's genocide when it happens to whites.
It certainly is, Don. Certainly is. Well.
All right, Don, you ready to plug out?
Yeah, just about here. I guess what I would do is I just want to refer people to a couple of websites here. I guess the first stop, if you're interested in this, I'm by no means the authority on white genocide. I just came across this concept a couple of weeks ago, and I'm doing my part to publicize it, you know, for what I can. But, you know, there's a lot of people that are, you know, more well-versed on this and smarter than I am. So I'm going to start writing articles on white genocide, so you can always keep an eye on my blog here in the near future, donaldfox.wordpress.com. I'm going to have an article out in the very near future. But right now, today, if people need more info, and by God, if you're white, you certainly do, some places to go. Go to thewhitegenocideproject.com. Go to Whitaker, www.whitakeronline.org/blog. And then another really good one is whiterabbitradio.net.
That's a good one.
And you can get yourself up to speed. They've got a bunch of podcasts out there, you know, ranging from 30 minutes to an hour, some are 15 minutes. It gives you, it gets you kind of the ABCs of how to do this. So if you're going to listen to this interview and then you're going to go interact with your friends and neighbors, they're not going to probably be on the research level. So before you open your mouth about this to anybody, go to whiterabbitradio.net, go to whitakeronline.org, and go to whitegenocideproject.com and get the talking points there, because they've got some bulletproof talking points that will enable you to start getting the message out to the masses. You can't, you know, you're not going to be able to talk to your neighbor about genocide by transfer and concepts like that. They just don't know what's going on. So you have to start out on the bottom floor with the unwashed masses, and these are good places to go.
Yes. Well, it makes a lot of sense, too.
I think Obama's new plan, Don, of diversifying wealthy neighborhoods in the U.S. is going to spook a lot of people, you know, because you hear this and you wouldn't believe it, that they're actually saying neighborhoods in America are too white. These are, of course, mostly wealthy neighborhoods, and they're going to diversify them. And yeah. I'm looking through all these national headlines here, Don, on that situation, we look at the president at the National Fair Housing Alliance, Debbie Goldberg. You know, well, there's a shock
that, yeah.
Unbelievable. They're in everything.
Yeah, one of our kosher friends would be calling for more diversity. That's
what they're saying. They're glamorizing it here, that we need these neighborhoods to be more diverse and offer more affordable houses for all the poor immigrants. Thanks, President Obama. This is great. But, you know, this isn't enough to spook people. I don't know what is. Because they're getting these people out of their neighborhoods now. and they're going to move these people in, and you're going to get crime and rape and these things and unemployment and all this stuff. And then the white people who are in those wealthy neighborhoods are going to start moving. They're going to go on the run again. And it's just going to, it's like a cancer, Don.
That's diversity. It's chasing down the last white person.
Crikey.
Yes.
There is nowhere to hide. This is coming to you. If you're white, they're coming. That's what you need to know.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, and one other thing, I guess, yeah, if you're not on Twitter, you should get on Twitter and search for hashtag white genocide. You know, hashtag that used to be the pound sign, you know, same thing, I guess. White genocide, that's a good one. I've debated a few of our kosher friends on Twitter lately. But there's some people out there putting out some good info. So support the people there that are fighting the good fight. And one of my skills, you know, I've got a few skills in life, but one of them is debating Jewish shills on the internet. I'm pretty good at that. So if I see those guys, if I don't see any trolls in there, I just let the thing go. But as soon as I see one of the heavy hitter trolls, I'll get in there and get after them.
They've got those huge rooms over there, Don, in Tel Aviv, where they're all Israeli students online all day, 24 hours it probably runs. And they all go in and out and go online and search for anti-Jewish propaganda as they see it. And then, you know, get in that way. It's amazing. You wouldn't think that. Funded totally by the Israeli government. Yeah. And they do it for free.
Yeah, I got a blog post on my blog from a little over a year ago. It's called Shills and Trolls Paid to Support Israel. So you can Google that. It's on my blog. If you go back in the archives or search for it, you know, Shills and Trolls on my blog, you should be able to find it. That'll tell you how the whole Israeli propaganda arm works.
It's Shill, is it? Shill Control.
Yep, shills and trolls. Let me go to my blog here and see if that will pull it up. So if you're going to encounter these people if you start posting stuff on the message boards or on Twitter, you're going to run into them, and you know they're nasty people. So if I just put, so I'm on donaldfox.wordpress.com right now. So if you just type in shills and trolls up in the search box, let's see what you get. Ah, there it is. Yeah, so if you get on my blog and you look in the upper right there, you'll see the magnifying glass. It'll say search. Just type in shills, S-H-I-L-L-S, and trolls, T-R-O-L-L-S. So you just punch that in and you'll see a headline that says shills and trolls paid to support Israel on message boards and forums. And that'll give you it's from February 7th, 2014 is when I posted it. That'll give you kind of the insight to the way the shills and the trolls function on the internet.
Well, we certainly get them here. One of the problems here, Don, is that if you're particularly just with a newspaper or any basically newspaper, they will cut you out themselves. If you're you know, you're contesting somebody on there with your view against theirs, the newspaper itself will mediate. And they seem to favour – they always seem to favour the other guy. I get cut out so often.
Yeah, if you're going to go to one of those Jews paper websites, yeah, that's what you're going to get.
Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah.
Can't get
it. You've got no hope.
Yeah, I try to go to places where there's at least like a hope and a prayer. You know, I'm a Daily Stormer once in a while, and where else am I? I'm on Twitter. You'll see me on Twitter, and I get after. There's a couple of these. Like Sergeant Honky Cost is one of his one dude's name. So Sergeant Honky Cost, he denies up and down that there's the white genocide is going on, but his name is Sergeant Honky Cost. I mean, come on, man. How much dumber do we have to be? You know, his whole point there is to make fun of white people that are trying to defend themselves. So you're going to see shills like that. That's what you're going to be up against. Just, just the bottom of the barrel scum of the earth.
And a lot of them are white as well, Don, as I said before, you know, on the TV and the new, write for the newspapers. They're just prepared to sell themselves out, you know, because of a paycheck. And they'll just viciously, venomously attack.
Yeah, you're going to see some good people like Ann Kelly. She just posted on Twitter now. I've seen a bunch of stuff from her. She's really good. Support. If you see Ann getting attacked, you know, you get in there and help her out.
Yeah. We get a lot of good people like that, don't you, and whistleblowers who see the system inside out and just want to get out of there and help with the information that they've got, you know, which is always a great thing, you know. Have to support any of these people that we can. As you said, get on there and help them out, yeah, because it's a never-ending attack.
Yeah, you kind of feel like you're alone because they just keep coming and coming and coming.
Go on social media and I've, type one you know, word in there, attack you from every angle.
doing 9/11 nukes, man. I've been attacked thousands and thousands and thousands of times.
You're like a big sponge, Don.
As Norm from Shears said, you know, I got milk bone underwear on, you know, and it's a dog eat dog world. You know, I
can't let it get to you. Just reflect it off.
Yeah, it's just part of doing business, just the price of doing business.
They're just nasty little shills and trolls, little pervs behind their computer, you know. That's all they do all day, you know. You can't let it bother you. You just laugh at them, you know.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's like a guy the other day, Don, he was tailgating me. I was driving right behind me, nearly almost hitting the back of my car, and I just slowed right down, but he couldn't get around me. And he was screaming in his car at me, going berserk, and when he finally got around me, I blew him a kiss. Just blew him a nice little kiss and gave him a little wave, you know. I'm not going to let these people get to me. You know?
Nah, don't get distracted and don't let them throw you off your game and don't
as
let
you,
them get
as
you down.
You know, yeah, you might put up an article on your site or say something on Twitter or something and they're onto you and they try and engage you and drain your whole day away. You've just got to either ignore them or whatever, but you can't let them get you down. You know,
no, at least on my blog, I can control who posts and who doesn't. I can delete.
Yeah, you can cancel them out. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, that's why they don't go to my blog anymore. They tried posting there a couple of years ago and I'd shoot them right down. So they've kind of given up because I've got administrative control over it. But, you know, I'm getting like 200 hits a day on a good day. You know, so I'm not the biggest internet presence that the world has seen. Let's put it that way. So.
So we've got to battle it out at the bottom here, Don. You know,
pretty much.
We're not going to be Alex Jones.
No. I don't have a bunch of Jewish sponsors here.
They've got money behind them. Obviously, we have to battle it out at the bottom. You know, but we got heart and we got mind and we got spirit and the will to do it. And we got honesty on our side and good on our side and right. So,
that's it.
You know?
No, that's the thing they teach you over there at. White Genocide Project and WhitakerOnline.org is that we have the moral high ground.
Yeah.
So you don't have to defend, you know, I guess the last thing I probably have to leave you guys with is white people exist. White people have the right to exist and white people have the right to exist as white people. You don't have to defend any of that. You don't have to defend slavery or, even though that was, you know, didn't happen the way it's portrayed, you don't even have to go there. The only point you really have to defend is the fact that, hey, blacks have a right to exist, whites have a right to exist, Asians have a right to exist.
Yep.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Well, go along with that. That's for sure.
It's ridiculous, you know, when we're proud of our culture, Don, and want to express it, we're sort of deemed to be a racist. It's getting like that in Australia. You know, foreigners can do whatever they want, you know, with their
culture.
Yeah,
it's been like that here for 20 years. It's been like that in the United States.
A bunch of white guys have a barbecue with a few beers and an Australian flag. It's called the police. We've got a bunch of racists. They're going to go on a rampage, you know?
There's a bunch of white supremacists grilling, yeah.
Yeah, grilling a barbecue, you know? And it's like, but these people can have festivals and everything they want and all their color, everything, anything they want to display, it's encouraged. But a couple of white guys kick a football around Garth and have a few beers as a terrorist group. They've got the Australian flag. Look out.
They'll ban that too shortly. They got our Confederate flag. I mean, what that was, the Confederate flag deal, is they're starting to erase white people out of the pages of history.
They're just
right
sort of
now.
Telling you now more abruptly, aren't they?
It's foreshadowing. Yep.
Yeah. We've got Sharia law to look forward to in Australia, Don, so can't wait for that. Get my hands chopped off, you know?
You're either going to have Sharia law or you'll have the Jews ruling openly. You know, yeah. Just take your pick.
The media are normalizing Sharia law. Is it that bad? You know? are we really that different? Oh, my God.
Well, guys, it's a good time here. I got another interview, so I got to run. But we're going to have to do this. We'll have to do this again real soon.
Great speaking to you, Don. You want to tell us just quickly about your show and where people can listen to that?
Yeah, I suppose I should plug my own show. I'm not the world's greatest self-promoter, as we've discovered.
Humble man.
Well, I'm like, I got to get out the info. I'm more worried about that. I don't plug myself. So, yeah, you can catch my show on VeteransTruthNetwork.com. We're on Sundays, allegedly from 4 to 6 p.m. on Sundays, although sometimes it doesn't always play at that time. Chip's working on things. They're getting the bugs worked out. And shows get replayed over on FireHorseNetwork.com as well, which is Chip's old network. My producer kind of took that over. So you can, after the show plays, you can hear it rebroadcast over there. Or you can pay $3 a month at VeteransTruthNetwork.com and get access to the archives. We've got like a million listeners, and we've got less than 400 subscribers. So, if you could kick in $3 a month, it would help us pay our internet bill over there.
Yes, all
well
right.
Worth it. And people can catch up with you, Don, at donaldfox.wordpress.com. That's your website, and worth getting over there and having a look at all the stories. And I'll put that up accompanying this link. So we'll get you on again very soon, Don, to just keep chatting about all this stuff going on.
You bet. It was great talking to you guys.
Thanks very much. All the best, Don. Thanks to you, Garth, and we'll speak again next week.
Okay.
You bet.
See you, Don.
Yep, see you, guys.